Thank you, Craig. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, lift those words of Scripture from the page and into our hearts today, for we too would follow you and love you best of all. Amen. The words déjà vu mean already seen. And you might be having déjà vu right now. Methodists are very prone to it. You're in church again, listening to me again, perhaps sitting in the same seat as last time again, and possibly looking at your watch as well again. Déjà vu. Well, when we dive into John chapter 21, we get that sense of déjà vu, things already seen earlier in the Gospels. And that's what I want us to look on and think about today. If we listen carefully, we can hear echoes of things that have gone before. Things that take us back, but also when they're repeated here, they somehow point us forward into a new future. And my focus is on Simon Peter's encounter with the risen Lord. Let Peter's story speak to your own story today. Simon Peter, the fisherman, left a note for his wife, gone fishing again. The call of the sea beckoned him. It sounds familiar. Peter was going back to his old life, perhaps doing something to take his mind off those troubling events of Easter, traumatic events, going fishing to escape those painful memories of denial and abandonment of his Lord, and waves of regret washed over Peter. His life was empty. And in the darkness of that night, so was his fishing net. There was no catch to be had. More failure. And then night became morning. And in the midst of brokenness and failure, the risen Lord Jesus is standing there on the shoreline, on the beach. We read how just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. He said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now there they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, he jumped into the sea. And again, this is one of those déjà vu moments. We've already seen this. We're taken right back to the first call on Peter's life. Let's rewind to Luke chapter 5, when Jesus first got into Peter's boat and into Peter's life. Luke chapter 5 begins, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the Lake of Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Can you see the connections between those two fishing expeditions? From beginning to end, Jesus showed himself to be the Lord, the one who changes things, the one who does miracles, the one who brings his fullness in place of our emptiness, the one who transforms our failure into success. And Simon Peter had learned so much about his Lord and about himself in between those two events. Once he shrank from the Lord in fear, but here he leaps out of the boat and runs to the Lord. A fresh encounter beckoned. Peter made it back to the shore. But more importantly, Peter made it back to Jesus. And a fresh encounter beckoned. We read on in John 21 that when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Again, I'm sure this moment of fellowship and food stirred memories within Jesus' friends. Memories of the past. Jesus feeding the 5,000 with bread and fish. The Passover meal shared in the upper room, and that charcoal fire. Another déjà vu moment we've already seen. For John mentioned a charcoal fire in chapter 18, the night when Jesus was arrested and abandoned. Peter was in the courtyard warming himself by a charcoal fire. And John uses the same word here, and it's only found twice in the New Testament. When Peter was warming himself and this charcoal fire here, John is making a deliberate connection. We remember how Peter, in that courtyard, was spoken to by a servant girl and two others who confronted him and accused him, saying, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And another, "Yes, I recognized you too." And a third, "Yes, I saw you in the garden with Jesus." And out of fear for his life, Peter denied three times, knowing Jesus. And then the rooster crowed, just as Jesus had predicted. And Peter wept bitterly. Fast forward in time, on a new sunrise, Peter can smell a new charcoal fire in his nostrils once more. And Jesus has built this fire. He's prepared something for Peter and his disciples. But this is not the fire of failure. This is the fire of forgiveness. And it warms Peter's heart with amazing love and grace. The Christian writer David Hopwood observes how when Jesus met Peter on that beach, Jesus didn't confront him and make him feel small, hold a grudge for years, ask him to grovel and plead in the sand, order him to work hard for his forgiveness. When Peter met Jesus on that beach, after he had denied knowing him three times, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And then he gave Peter a new start, a fresh beginning. "Come, be my disciple," he said. "Follow me." And he continues, "When we meet Jesus each morning after another day of ups and downs, Jesus doesn't confront us and make us feel small, hold a grudge for years, ask us to grovel and plead in the sand, order us to work hard for our forgiveness. Instead, Jesus asks us again, 'Do you love me?' Even with the little love we have. And he offers us a new start, a fresh beginning. 'Come, be my disciple,' he says. 'Follow me.'" And friend, I hope that you will hear that invitation today. Once again, an opportunity for a fresh start, another chance. Just like Peter, Jesus places his trust in you today. When the inventor Thomas Edison was working on a new contraption called a light bulb, it took a whole team of men 24 hours to put a light bulb together. And the legend goes that when Thomas Edison was finished with his team of making that one light bulb, he gave it to a young lad, a helper, to carry it up the stairs for the next test. And the boy took the light bulb and step by step, he cautiously watched his hands obviously frightened of dropping such a precious piece of work. And you've probably guessed what happened. Yeah, that's right. When he got to the top of the stairs, he stumbled and he dropped the light bulb and it smashed. And it took the entire team of men another 24 hours to make that light bulb, to make the new one. And finally, exhausted, Thomas Edison was ready to have that light bulb taken up the stairs once again. And who did he give it to? He gave it to that same lad. He gave it to that same young boy. He gave him another chance. Would I do the same? Probably not. But that's true forgiveness, isn't it? Trusting somebody once again. And I'm sure that boy's life was changed by that second chance. And we need a second, third, fourth, plus, plus chance, don't we? When we fail, when we drop things. A chance to receive, not a light bulb, but the light of God once again in our hearts. To take away the pain, to scatter the darkness. To carry it out from here into the world. We can do that today. And importantly, we might have the power to offer that second chance to somebody else that is on our heart. Dare you hand them the light bulb? Give them another chance. Trust them. Will you let forgiveness have its déjà vu moment? I think I've forgiven this person before. And I think God's calling me to do it again. That's what the kingdom looks like. It's about forgiving those who mess up. So each one of us is set free from our past. Another chance is not about turning back the clock or changing the past. Instead, it's about moving forward into God's bigger picture that opens up a bigger future. And so it was around that charcoal fire. The overwhelming love and forgiveness of Jesus transformed Peter from being a defeated traitor into a passionate evangelist and a fisher of men. Peter is risen from the dead. It is a new beginning. But God's future for Peter would make great demands, and Jesus speaks of an ending. Craig read to us how Jesus told Peter, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus is quoting a proverb here that rings true. In older age, we lack the mobility and the freedom we had when we were young. And sometimes people make decisions on our behalf. But more than that, Jesus was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Tradition says that Peter was taken away in chains and led away to be crucified. And not wanting to replicate the death of his Lord, he asked to be crucified upside down. And here is that final deja vu moment we've already seen before. Echoes of Good Friday resound. Peter took up his cross and followed Jesus. I took this photograph of a painting in a chapel along the Way of the Cross in Jerusalem. And it shows countless followers of Jesus carrying their cross behind him. And if you look very clearly, you will see yourself. Peter knew the cost of discipleship. Peter knew he had to follow Jesus. There was no going back. But yes, there would be losses and sacrifices and suffering. But whatever he was set to lose, even his life, far more would be gained. Far more would be gained for the kingdom. And that's the way of Jesus. Giving ourselves away. No cross, no crown. It's a hard teaching. But God, save us from a discipleship that costs us nothing. In our service in the kingdom, like Peter, we may also be led where we do not want to go and do things that we would not choose to do. But Jesus will lead us, and he will never forsake us or abandon us. We shall be more than conquerors through his love. So this is the truth. We must die a little every day. Die to self and submit our will to his. It's what love does. It gives itself away. We go to feed his flock, to tend his people. May we find grace to say, loving God, there is a part of me which is dying and a part of me which is coming to life. Let me be open to both my dying and my coming to life. Let me surrender to you and lose my life that I may find it in the end. So we give thanks today for Simon Peter's story and for the portrait, the cameo of his whole life, it seems, that is captured here in John chapter 21. Peter, the fisherman, the forgiven, the follower of Jesus. Deja vu moments we have already seen in his life, and those same moments and themes now repeated in your life and mine. Lives lived to the glory of God. Amen. A moment of quiet prayer as we reflect on what God has been saying to us through his word. Let us pray. Our merciful God, as we respond to you in worship, may your waves of mercy wash over our lives. Release us from our sins. Cleanse us. Flood our lives with your light and your love. Cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Amen.